It's time for another episode of At Russian 98 on Hockey. Yes, it's me, Peter Borjaranov, at Russian 98. You can find me on Twitter, at Russian 98, R-U-S-S-I-A-N 98. Tweet me on there. Ask me any questions about myself, the show, if you want to be a part of the show, if you have any questions about the Leafs, about hockey, come on there. Ask me. Add me on Twitter, at Russian 98. Remember, this is at Russian 98 on Hockey. It's your one-stop shop for all things hockey news. Come here for your hockey update. It's where I round up everything and talk about everything in the hockey world quickly in a precise, 10, 15 minutes. All right, if you miss something big in hockey, I'll probably talk about it here. What I try to do is do an NHL podcast and a Leafs podcast. Haven't done an NHL podcast in a while. I wasn't huge or a big fan of what happened in the trade deadline, but we'll get to it in a few more days. This is your Leafs podcast. What do we have this episode? Well, we're going to be talking about, again, the Leafs, how they've been playing so up and so down. You don't know what to expect. They're not consistent. But could they be the next Washington Capitals? Could they be the next St. Louis Blues? How long did it take them to be a contender to win the big one? Was their team in the way? I'll get to that later in this show. Gonna talk about the Leafs' depth. We're gonna talk about Leafs' injuries. And, of course, the last few games. What is gonna be happening in the next little while. And a quick update on the Beast prospect. He is a forward, right? Nick Robertson. Let's talk about Nick Robertson. So last week, he scored a huge hat trick and became the first Peterborough Pete in 27 years to score 50 goals in a season. 50 goals in 43 games. That's insane. That's crazy. He's already at, I think now after 46 games, 55 goals in the league. He's got about 8 goals ahead of the second best guy, only 46 games. So he's clipping at 1.196, almost 1.2 goals per game. The next best, Connor McMichael, we all know how great he's going to be. He's at 0.9. Almost 0.3 goals per game, better than the next best guy. Wow. Playing fantastic. Looking like a beast for a second round pick, Robertson is. Crazy. So, his coach was quoted saying, Robbie has got so much offensive ability. He does such a good job. He can shoot the puck really well. He can make plays. There are a lot of things that Robbie does well. I'm getting a lot of information, of course, from thehockeywriters.com. They made some great prospect profiles. They said that basically his skill supersedes the questions regarding his size and determination to get things done offensively and far outweighs anything that play against him. He's more raw than some of the other players ranked ahead of him, of course, in the draft, but that doesn't make or stop him from being a top 6 forward in the NHL. Because his skills are there, of course. His strength, skating, offensive ability. And improvements, what are you going to do? Size, maybe. Consistency. And maybe defensive coverage. And, of course, that takes some time. So let's get to when he could join the Maple Leafs. Everybody's hyping him up. He's going to be the next big thing. Well, let's give it some time. With the rules, of course, understandably, the CHL, they like protecting their league and want to make it competitive with their top talent. So they made an agreement with the NHL, of course. Any player already playing for a team, when he is drafted, will be ineligible to play for the minor leagues if they want to go straight to the AHL until he is 20 by December 31st or has played four seasons in the CHL. So that means you won't see him in the AHL next year if you think he might go to the Marlies for the Leafs. He'll be probably at camp next season for the Leafs. We'll see what he has there. Hope for him for the rest of the season. And go out and catch some Peterborough Pete's games if you can. Go check him out because he is on fire. And, you know, give the kid some time. We don't know what he is exactly. He looks like a stud. He's got great offensive vision and skills and a shot. So hopefully that'll project to the NHL level. And we'll see. But, again, give the kid some time. And might be a year or two and a half, before he joins the Leafs. Are the Toronto Maple Leafs the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Chicago Blackhawks? No, they're not. Nobody's saying they are. Can they be built that way? They can't. Those teams were built in the pre-salary cap era, basically. Before all that really started, they got those great cap hits of and extended with Hossa and Keith. And then you draft those studs and you win the whole Stanley Cup within their third year. Kane and Taze. But they don't really gel and become a really good team until a couple of years later. So it did take them a while to be totally consistent. More so the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. You got generational talents in basically Crosby and Malkin. They win in their third year, but they don't really find consistency until almost 7 years later. So they were good, but not win the cup good. And then they were. So that took a few years for them. Hawks, again, the salary cap wasn't fully there, and it's harder to do it now. Be a contender, be consistent. Now that it's hit them, they're pretty much decimated. The Hawks haven't been consistent for a few years now. So, are the Maple Leafs the new Washington Capitals or St. Louis Blues? Let's look at the comparisons. Took Ovi about, 12, 13 seasons? Backstrom, 11 seasons. Carlson, Holpe, 9 years. So the core of their team, 13, 11, 9 years before they won the cup. Yeah, we all know the Capitals have been a great team since 2007, making the playoffs and being first in their division or second practically every year. They missed playoffs only once. They were fifth place in their division that 1 year. But otherwise, they've been first or second. First pretty much every year, except for 2 or 3 years they were second, being better. But they kept on losing to the Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs, who were just a little bit better. Just had all the right pieces with generational talents in Crosby and Malkin. Until they learned that they got to change it up and play a little bit differently. And be not just offensive, but be more well-rounded. And you got to kind of have a chip on your shoulder. You got to have some more experience. You got to go through some times. And the Capitals did. They lost in the first round, the second round, the first round. Couple of years before they started going further. But still, losing to Pittsburgh many times and some of those other teams that were just a little bit more built for the playoffs, like the Rangers and maybe even Philadelphia. But they eventually beat through Pittsburgh and then went all the way. The Blues, almost a similar thing. Perron, 10, 11 years. Pietrangelo, 10, 11 years. Even Tarasenko, 7 years. before they went all the way. They kept on having struggles against those Chicago Blackhawks, even the Sharks and the LA Kings, who were great in those years. They lost to the Kings and they won. The Kings won in those years. The Blues have been a great team since 2011. But what happened last year? The Blues finally beat through. They even beat the Sharks on their way and they won everything. So it took them a while. They're a bit more of a two-way team and they found offense. They got a guy like Tarasenko. They built around and then they got a big free agent in O'Reilly and they got a goaltender that can win them games in the playoffs last year. And that turned this whole team around and they're a contender once again this year. Caps have been a contender for a while, but it still took them a while. Are the Leafs that team? It's salary cap world. They've spent a fair bit of money on those big kids, but they're only in their third seasons. Give them a couple years. Yeah, they could do it, but I think they've got to go through some tough teams. And the teams that they've constantly made and went to the playoffs are the Bruins the last 2 years and in 2013. Who won in 2013? Well, the Bruins didn't, but they went all the way to the finals. The last few years, the Leafs have been losing to the finals. Who went to the finals? Who lost to the Bruins. Who went to the finals last year? The Bruins. Who did the Leafs play 3 years ago when they got these kids going to the playoffs magically? The Capitals, who have been consistently a great team and won the cup just 2 years ago. Year removed from when they got beat by the Capitals. So they're losing to these big teams. They might lose again this year. Maybe they could surpass. We don't know. But they're still going in the right direction. Just give it some time. Watch and enjoy these kids as they develop into contenders. Maybe they're not contenders yet. But you still need to give them some time to be that team. To become a more well-rounded team. You don't just become great all around the ice in your first 2-3 years. It takes some time. Remember Crosby when he first started? Even Patty Kane? They weren't that well-rounded. They are now. Matthews is getting there. A lot of people have said, oh, Matthews is not a, you know, a 60-foot guy. He can't. What is he doing? He's one of the better defensive centers now this season in the whole league. They're getting there. Just give them some time. It'll come. So let's talk about depth before we get into who's injured. Well, the last few games. Let's go to the last few games. So they lose to Carolina. The emergency backup goalie comes in. The Zamboni driver, yes, we remember. I lost it. We all lost it. Then the Leafs start playing consistent. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, who's the hottest team in the NHL the last 2-3 months. They beat the Panthers, who they're competing for that final third spot in the division. They beat the Canucks, who have been playing fairly well, and they're in a playoff spot. And then they go out west, which is really odd. They go out to play LA, Anaheim, San Jose, the three teams that usually you're scared to play against because you go out west and they dominate and they've been pretty good over the years, but not this year. They're all struggling. They're at the basement of the Western Conference. San Jose, up and down the last few weeks. The Leafs couldn't find a way to beat Jones. They had many great opportunities. He was outstanding. The Leafs, hey, Marner had a fantastic goal. That was good. Campbell was pretty good, but he had some weird bounces behind the net. One from the right side in the corner and one off the boards that went to the player on the side. It's hard, especially with the defensemen that we have so many injured. CeCe was out until he came back. Riley and Muzzin are still out. But nonetheless, you got to find ways to beat these teams. And they lost there. They go to LA. They can't even muster a goal. Quick stands on his head. But the better thing I liked is Anderson was fantastic as well. Both goaltenders played well. But they lose to the Kings in the shootout. Again, I think a few calls might have been missed, but it happens. They got a point, but that was it. They play against the Ducks the following night on Friday, and they lose 2-1. Again, I think in this game they were the slightly better team, but they couldn't find it, and they played well again at the end of the game, and it just wasn't enough. We found that the Leafs could play a little bit better defensively, but when they did, they couldn't find any offense. They couldn't muster anything. So this is when you need your depth to stand up when your big guns can't score and they're being stopped offensively. Marner hasn't been as great as he has been, but it was nice at least. I know he made a foolish penalty, but it was good to see some emotion out of him. He's getting pissed off. I haven't seen that much emotionally out of him this year. Tavares, I don't know where it's... I don't know if he's injured or what. We know he had the flu and the sickness a few weeks ago. So he's struggling with that. But again, this is where the Leafs need depth. And when you have so much salary tied in these guys, it's tough. When Nylander signed that contract, I said, yeah, it's about $500,000 overpaid. Within a year, this is the second year, he's blowing that out of the water. 30 goal plus guy for that contract is fantastic, in my opinion. He's playing well, and his possession numbers are through the roof. He's great. I said when they, even a year and a half ago, I was saying Marner was going to get a big contract, and we all expected it. I wanted him to be traded for a power forward type player, and I questioned maybe even getting a Matthew Tkachuk for Marner and a prospect. At that time, would have been fine. Now, not so much with his contract. And I even said when he signed the contract, I think it's $2.5 million overpaid. And right now, it's a fair bit with how he's been playing this season. But I still think Mitchie will turn around. He's a fantastic playmaking player. But when you're paying that much salary, it's hard when a player doesn't score that many goals. It's back when the Gomez contract. Or I can't remember. Maybe it was the Gomez contract. But again, big money to players that don't score. It's great when you play make and you set up plays, but you need a finisher. And that's the guy who should be earning a little bit more money. You need a guy who will finish. And if he's not finishing, the passes won't even matter. And now if his playmaking's not great either, and you're only picking up points on the power play or because the other guy's playing really well, like Matthews, among the top scorers in the league. I'm wearing the stash. Are you wearing the stash? Wear the stash. We're going for Matthews, going for 50. He's going to get there. But again, when you play with these players, you're going to get assists. Tavares struggling this year. So I think that's why Keith noticed Marner and Tavares are both struggling a little bit on and off this year. So he split them up. I mean, that's why it's going that way. But again, the depth needs to score more. We brought in Kerfoot, and you'd hope he would be putting up at least 20 goals. He's not. Even playing on the wing, on the second line, as he's played most of the season, especially since Mikheyev has been out. Nothing. Abysmal. Janssen was abysmal until he got injured. Kapanen's been okay. I still expected a little bit more, and he's becoming a little bit more feistier. I think he's always had that in him, but even more so, you could say it is maybe on Clifford, but we need the depth to stand up. We need to be a little bit better. Engvall was fantastic his first 2-3 weeks. Not so much. He turns back all the time. Hyman's been outstanding. I don't know how much they're going to have to pay him his next contract. But again, that leads me to the salary cap. What are we going to do? If the salary cap doesn't expand that much in the offseason, in my opinion, you're going to have to move either a Kerfoot or a Johnson. Maybe it's Kerfoot because I don't see Johnson bringing anything back if the cap doesn't go on off. We know Barry's not going to be re-signed. We did sign Muzzin. I like that. It's a great contract to re-sign him. CC is probably going to be gone. Then you have to bring up Sandin and maybe even Liljegren on a full-time basis. Dermott. So that means you got to pay Dermott and Mikheyev some money this year in the offseason. And depending on how much salary there is, can they go out and get a top four shutdown defenseman? We'll see. But their depth, especially offensively too, need to stand up. Team has to play obviously better as a team defensively. They showed pretty much that on this crappy West Coast swing. But at least we did show signs of Anderson playing better. Campbell's still good. Marner's showing a little more emotion. So there were some bright spots on an abysmal Western trip. Hey, the Kings have been playing pretty well recently, 7-3. So that was kind of what I expected. Now, obviously, not against Ducks or San Jose, but I knew the Kings were playing better. All right, injury updates before we go. Tweeted by Chris Johnson a couple days ago. Of course, we know CC came back. Morgan Riley could be coming back in the next few games. Mikheyev, obviously, probably near the end of the season, but he should play this season. And Muzzin, well, of course, with a broken hand since February 25th, could be back by the end of March. So that's pretty good. As long as he gets in a couple of games, 5 or 6 before the playoffs, I think that's good enough. And then we'll see what we still have for the depth. And you never know. You never know what happens in the playoffs. And that's it. For this episode of At Russian 98 on Hockey, remember, this is your one-stop shop on all things hockey. I try to round up everything that's been going on the week or two. This is your Leafs episode, of course. Find me on Twitter, at Russian 98, R-U-S-S-I-A-N 98. I might be soon launching a webpage. You can go on there. I'll have a mailing list. I'll have a poll. And of course, all the previous episodes. So I'll stay tuned for that. Follow me on Twitter. If you have any questions for the show, for myself, if you want to be a part of the podcast, go on there at Russian 98. Until next time, see you later.